I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. You probably won't ever see this in the classifieds, but the demand is definitely there. Wanted, company interested in destroying Syria's chemical weapons materials. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons has essentially issued that call. The OPCW is the UN-affiliated group based in the Netherlands that has the job of eliminating Syria's chemical arsenal. And right now, officials there are considering the option of destroying the materials at sea. So how exactly would that be done? We asked Ralph Trapp, an independent chemical disarmament specialist in France.
You can either incinerate them, that's to say you burn them off at very high temperatures, and then you have to deal with the off gases that clean them up. Or alternatively, you can split the molecules with chemical means. Typically, you do that by hydrolysis, that's water, with alkaline components in the water. But there are also other types of chemicals that could be used for neutralizing agents.
I mean, one of the big issues is that it doesn't really seem to be any countries out there that want these toxins destroyed on their territory. So what do you do now?
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems. And I can understand that there is hesitation. There's also public perception about the dangers involved in this. And then, of course, there is a whole regulatory background that needs to be complied with. If you want to destroy chemical weapons, you need to license facilities and processes. So, yes, there is obviously a problem at the moment finding a country that could host that destruction operation. And that's, I understand, one of the reasons why this proposal is now being assessed as to whether you can do it at sea.
And so what do you think about that?
It's obviously not a preferred option. Otherwise, one would have started with that option in the first place. And we were looking for a possibility of setting up a destruction operation, partly in Syria, partly out of Syria, but in places like nearby countries, if that's possible. Now, that obviously doesn't seem to be the case. Doing it at sea is possible in principle. We've had situations in the past where this has been done at smaller scale, much smaller scale than 1,000 tons of precursor chemicals and chemical warfare agents.
Like where? Where has it been done before?
Well, there were a couple of destruction operations on floats and boats after the Second World War in Europe. And there was a recent case where Japan has cleared up the area around Kandahar, or that's a port. And they basically lifted up from the seabed old chemical weapons that were disposed of after the Second World War. And one of the options that came out of that process was, in fact, a suggestion to set up a floating facility. But again, that's small scale by comparison. It's also a slightly different technology. It's a detonation chamber that doesn't produce an awful lot of liquid waste. So it's much easier to handle.
And I suspect chemical weapons technology has changed a lot since the end of World War II. What are the consequences for marine life of destroying weapons at sea?
We're talking about the precursor chemical for sarin gas, which is a phosphor organic chemical. It is toxic, and it certainly would be toxic for marine life. So, I mean, if you want to destroy that at sea, you have to make sure that you can control contamination, that you can make sure that when there's an accident, when something goes wrong, you can actually handle the situation and not end up having to spill the agent into the sea. That's something you don't want to happen. And also, you have to think about what you do with the reaction products afterwards, because some of them may be toxic.
And if you're doing this out at sea, do you need any national permission to get this done?
In the high sea, if you are in international waters, the answer is no. However, you still have to respect international law. And there is a UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, which sets conditions to the activities you can conduct at sea. It sets conditions about how you have to use precautionary principles and methods to prevent the pollution of the maritime environment and things like that. So it's not a carte blanche. You have to make sure that you have control over the process and that you can, in fact, operate safely.
What are the other dangers of destroying chemical weapons at sea? I mean, is security one of them?
Security is one of them, but security probably is a concern at the moment, mostly in Syria. And within Syria, it would be a concern once you start moving chemical weapons to the coast. And then, of course, during the operations at the port site when you load these weapons onto boats. Once you're on the sea, security remains a concern, but it's of a different nature. But of course, you're also in what I consider to be an unpredictable and potentially dangerous environment. You are at sea. You have to deal with the impact of waves, of weather, of other things that could get in the way. I mean, ships do sink once in a while. So it's not a friendly environment for running a chemical weapons destruction operation.
So, Ralph Trapp, if you were to consult the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons on this, what would you suggest?
Well, I understand they are already in the process of assessing this as an option. I think that's exactly what should be done at this point in time. It is an option that needs to be assessed. We need to be aware of what can be done, what cannot be done, what would be the risks if one would go down that track. There's quite a bit of work to do before you can take a decision on this one, but I wouldn't rule it out as an option at this point in time.
Ralph Trapp is a chemical disarmament specialist. He's been speaking with us from France, where he lives. Thanks very much for your time, Ralph.
Thank you.